As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Subscribe on YouTube, like this episode, subscribe for our free newsletter, follow all the social media accounts, and generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. That's commonfan.co. Also, Common Fans, what's more Nebraskan than football and beef? Oak Barn Beef is a family-owned farm right in Nebraska, shipping premium dry-aged beef straight to doorsteps nationwide. Whether you're stocking the freezer, grilling for game day, or looking for a gift that actually impresses, Oak Barn Beef delivers. Check them out at oakbarnbeef.com. That's oakbarnbeef.com. And taste the difference of Nebraska-raised dry aged beef. Gentlemen, good morning. How are we?
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm fine.
Yeah, you are fine, Geoff. Everything's fine. so we're getting this out a little later on Monday. We couldn't find a time where all three of us could connect over the weekend. But the good news about that is everything is immediately up to date right now.
Yep.
Right now. We're going to record this. We're going to put it out. We're going to record it Monday morning. We're going to put it right out. So sometimes we record a little bit in advance, and everything, so things are happening so fast and moving so quickly that if we had recorded on Friday, we would have missed several things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, absolutely. A lot of moving pieces here. A lot of stuff going on, fellas.
There's an old and somewhat famous John McCain line that I was feeling like was applying to Nebraska football for a while. Mm-hmm. And that is, it's always darkest before it's pitch black. And that's sort of how I was feeling, but it's funny. It's like a testament to what we talk about all the time. We got a new offensive line coach already. We got a new defensive coordinator starting to read the profiles about these guys. The wheels are starting to spin, starting to get excited. We're well on our way to another offseason national championship.
Oh yeah.
Definitely are. I think we already won it again.
Yeah.
It's already happened.
No, we're in the hunt. We're in the hunt. We got to get some portal additions, and then, you know,
that's
then
right.
we're off and rolling.
Right. 100%.
Let's just recap what happened here, guys. Since so we last recorded right after the Iowa game. Okay. So it's been over a week. It's been two weekends have gone by. It doesn't feel any better, let's be clear. but okay. So in that time, John Butler has been fired. Defensive coordinator John Butler has been fired. Mm-hmm. That was interesting because that came like right away. I mean, then maybe it was like they let the weekend go by, but I think it was like Monday.
It was Monday after Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, right. Thanksgiving weekend. John Butler fired. And then a whole nother week went by, right? Wasn't it like this past weekend? Wasn't it Saturday or something? Offensive line coach Donovan Raiola gets fired. There's multiple layers to that, which we'll
Huge.
Talk about.
Yeah. Yep.
Emmett Johnson has declared for the NFL draft. Not a ton else in the way, not a ton in the way of transfer portal movement or announcements yet. Now the portal doesn't open until January 2nd this year. So that might be a little bit more of a slow burn. Rhule made a comment that the new defensive coordinator will have a lot of latitude about his staff, and so could see some more, and that, you know, who knows, maybe on the offensive side, could see some more shuffling among the coaching staff as well.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we got the news that Nebraska is going to be playing in the Las Vegas Bowl against Utah, who's number 15 in the country, has a running quarterback, and is number 2 nationally in rushing offense, averaging almost 270 yards per game ground. I can't think of a worse matchup for the Nebraska 2025 Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Bull Durham when they have their meeting at the mound, and Crash Davis, who's Kevin Costner's character, says, "We're dealing with a lot of shit." that's how it feels right now, guys.
Yeah. Yeah,
how it feels. Let's start with the staff shakeups. John Butler. Here's my take. I'll give you my take, and then you guys let me know what you think.
Okay.
And I've heard a couple guys say this. Gary Sharp said this. I think Sam McEwen said this. But I think through 10 games, it was okay, right? Like, you could make the argument that the defense had played well enough through 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys suggested that, like, maybe even his job was safe through the first 10 games.
Yeah.
I think what you could argue through those first 10 games was we lost so many guys, Nash and Ty and Jamari Butler and John Bullock and so many guys, that the defense was, there's no way the defense wasn't going to take a step back, but you could argue the defense had done enough, right? Had the ball against Michigan with the chance, had a chance against Michigan, only lost by 3, even against Minnesota, which was ugly and not acceptable. Give up 24 points, you would expect your offense to be able to compete with that.
Yeah.
Very average Minnesota team. Probably played their best game of the year against USC, right? Certainly had a shot to win that game. Obviously made some plays late to help win, Michigan State and Maryland and some of these other games. So you could kind of make an argument that they kind of figured it out. A lot of young talent, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom fell out the last two games against Penn State and Iowa, gave up 77 points total across those two games and about a country miles worth of rushing yards.
Yep.
And even the passing defense, which had been so good, kind of failed us late. So I don't think you're going to find a lot of people in Husker Nation gnashing their teeth about losing John Butler, but wanted to get your guys' take on that.
Well, I think they're onto something there because I'm kind of with you. Like, it felt like, okay, yeah, we expected a step back, right? And then the way that those two games happened, I think, was kind of like, oh crap, like this is too bad to come back from, kind of. But we said it too, like, if we would sacrifice this so-called elite pass defense, we would accept them being middle of the pack if we were better at stopping the run. The last 2 years we talked about special teams, and if they were just average, mm-hmm. like if our defense was just average, I really wonder if we win at least one more game. If they're middle of the pack in pass defense, middle of the pack in rush defense, maybe they string something together and we get to 8 wins. There's not that much emotional attachment to John Butler, right? Like, he was here for 2 seasons, I think, one as the DB's coach, maybe secondary coach. And then promoted internally to DC. So it's not like, he developed all this goodwill with Husker fans to be like, I don't think they should have fired Butler. It's kind of like, oh, they fired him. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because, I thought we'll make a couple of staff changes, maybe. Like, maybe they change the D-line coach or the linebackers coach. But DC was kind of like, okay, well.
Serious.
I guess it makes sense, though, because, If you're gonna fire that, you want your DC to be like, okay, do you want to bring in your own guys, so that'll be interesting to see what happens with the rest of the defensive staff. Who's gonna stay, who's gonna go? Are they all gone?
Yeah,
who knows?
Rhule basically said the secondary coach, what's his name, Addison Williams, I think.
Yeah,
basically said he's staying. And he's a former coordinator. I think he's highly respected on the staff. Obviously, the D-backs were really good this year. The pass defense is really good this year. But then he also said he's going to give the new coordinator like a lot of latitude to hire whatever staff he wants.
And some of that with Williams, I think, is recruiting too. I think there's either a couple of recruits in this year's class or next year's that are like really tight with Coach Williams. And so, we can't afford to lose guys, especially if they're, you know, big time recruits, you know, at the expense of like, hey, let's change up the defensive staff. So that's, I think that's part of it too.
Yeah.
Well, somebody's got to take the fall, right? Like, that's just the choice you have to make. Like, imagine if they didn't do it. You can't just sit back and say, oh, we'll figure it out next year. Let's run it back again.
Right.
There's got to be someone that falls on that sword. And sorry, John, that guy was you this time.
We didn't even get to talk about the John Butler trio that much.
You know, no, we really didn't.
Called the John Butler trio.
We really didn't. And I, for the record, when I heard Butler talk, I'm like, I like the way he speaks. I like what he's saying. You know, I think he's probably a really brilliant football mind, but for whatever reason, the run fits was just not happening, was not a strength, and it was not. And I also question whether it could have been. You know, we said it could. Well, you something you fix in the offseason. Maybe Coach Rhule is like looking at it like, I don't know if it's fixable. You know, we got to do a scheme change.
If it was year one for Coach Rhule, he probably doesn't get fired. Let's be honest.
Oh, for
right?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
And so I think Rhule is feeling
there is something to be said about that, TJ, that being the year three leap that we were all supposed to get and it didn't happen per se. And so, yeah, it definitely feels a little bit of pressure there in regards to, I got to make some adjustments and some changes to get this ship righted. So yeah, there's definitely, that's a good point.
And Jeff, to your point about somebody needing to take the fall, I thought it was interesting. Like, nobody thinks the defensive performance was good enough this year. Not a lot of attachment to Butler. Again, I think, and Husker fans seem to err on the side of, when the product on the field is not good enough, let's fire somebody. So I don't think anybody was losing sleep over the John Butler firing. But as the week went on, I was like, okay, nothing else is happening. And like, are we just all going to pretend like what we saw on offense was good enough? Because it really wasn't.
Right. Right.
And we talked many times throughout the season, they don't seem to have an identity. They don't play complementary football. They don't seem to put the defense in the best position sometimes. And I woke up Saturday morning early and I started working on an article titled "For Nebraska Football, What About the Offense?" And it was going to be about, you know, hey, yeah, they improved. They improved by almost a touchdown in terms of points per game. Emmett was great. Like, there were some things you can point to that were definitely better. But I feel like, you know, you could argue the defense did enough in most games to give them a chance to win it. And there were too many times where the offense couldn't, you know, we talked about this ad nauseum at the Iowa game, where a couple series go differently. They manage differently on offense. I don't think we win that game, but I think it's an entirely different game where it's a lot closer much later. So anyway, and then Saturday, and then I like kind of wrote about half of it. And then I, you know, the kids started waking up and I, you know, just needed to take a break. And then Donovan Raiola got fired. again, I can't shake. I think we all like Holgorsen. I think it's an open question as to whether or not he's a perfect fit for Nebraska. It's an open question about whether or not, what they're doing makes sense for Nebraska and for the Big Ten. And, you know, I keep coming back. Like, Emmett ran wild, especially the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And the offensive line, I was in the house for Northwestern and UCLA. Matty O, you were at Iowa and a number of other games. Geoff, you were at some of those games.
Yeah.
The holes were nice and big for Emmett, even against Iowa. Like, yes, Emmett makes people miss and he creates more than he, you know, another back might get. But there are also some, like, just he also had lots of room to run. Like, the O-line really came together in the second half of the season. Now, you could argue, I think I saw somewhere it said Raiola doesn't have any all-conference picks and no draft picks. And you could argue that
it over four seasons?
Yeah, over four seasons.
Yeah.
And you could argue that.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. It shouldn't take half the season to sort of figure it out. But I sort of wonder if some of that is like the identity of the offense and trying to figure out what Dana wants and what Rhule wants and what you're doing with your five-star quarterback. So I don't know. I feel like, again, 27 sacks or 417 sacks or however many sacks it was is not good enough. I don't feel, you know, I think at times over the last 4 years, we've really not run the ball well enough. There's lots of stuff you could point to. But again, with that too, that doesn't really resolve the questions on offense, I don't think.
Yeah.
Right.
And then with Donovan Raiola, you have this added dynamic. Okay.
Yep.
So suddenly Dylan's younger brother, Dayton, who didn't have any other Power 5 offers and is, by all accounts, not as good as Dylan. But Dayton Loyola suddenly decommits a couple days before signing day. Now you fired Uncle Donnie. Are they going to fire Donovan Raiola if Dylan's coming back?
Like, probably not.
Right?
That's what I said. It was like a chicken or the egg thing. Like, do we know that Dylan's not going to be sticking around? And so that's why we're firing Donnie? Or are we firing Donnie saying, well, I guess we're going to fire Donnie because we think it's the right move. And if Dylan wants to stay, he can stay. If he wants to go, he can go. Because, you know, you absolutely 100% take that into consideration, the family dynamic with making that call. So I think there's more dominoes to fall, guys. Like, you bring in a new offensive line coach, and we have our, you know, questions. While we love Dana, is it a right fit? All those things have to, like, jive together, right? Like, you're ultimately, like, your offensive line coach has to have your offensive line coach has similar theories as your offensive coordinator, your offensive play caller. Like, there has to be some symmetry there and some chemistry there. So I kind of can't help but wonder, like, is Dana coming back? Like, I've wondered if, you know, maybe it's one of those things where Dana says, you know what, screw this stuff. Like, I want to go hang out on a beach somewhere for another 6 months, and then maybe I can, you know, maybe come back and be an analyst or something. Like, I don't know. I don't know how invested Dana is. And maybe he is. Maybe that's not fair to say, but I just still think there's more dominoes to fall. And of course, it's going to be personnel player wise. Like, what's going to happen with that? You know, we don't know the question marks about Dylan. I've seen it, you know, discussed or rumored on Twitter that Latif's either hurt or he's gone too, and all those things. There's just so many question marks this time of year. And while it's fun and exciting and you're like plugged in, like, oh, what's going to happen next? It's not always a good feeling. Like, the unknown is like, yeah, that could be, because and it's changed for me a little bit. Like, when we aren't going to a bowl game, we have a losing season, whatever. It's all on the table to me. Like, make changes, fine. But things have gotten better under Rule. They're not where we want them to be. But, like, to make a whole bunch of changes after, okay, we've been to two back-to-back bowl games when we're clamoring for just a bowl game for 8 years. I don't know. The unknown, the uncertainty, I don't know. While exciting and I'm plugged in and glued into all this stuff, it just makes me so dang nervous, guys. Yeah. Like, who's to say these moves aren't completely terrible? And I'm never the guy to do this. I'm never the guy to go, you know, the pessimist route on this stuff. Who's to say these aren't absolutely terrible hires and then things are going to go the other way? I don't know. I'm in a weird place of skepticism with the Nebraska football program right now. And I think it's just like, I got to see it. I got to see it.
Thank you. You know, like, there it is. Like, that's what I say all, like, the time. Matt, welcome to the club. Show me.
No, it's like Matt. Show me. Matt Jr.'s like, you know, what do you think? And I'm like, I can't say, like, I don't know. I got to wait until they're playing a real football game next fall. And even then, like, show me what happens when we start conference play, because the last 2 years, our non-con didn't really show us anything. Like, we were excited about the Colorado win last year, and we thought we're all sweet and good. But, you know, then we get into Big Ten play and it's a different beast, man. It's a totally different animal. So I'm kind of in wait and see mode. Like, I'll get excited when we announce these, you know, portal additions and whatever, the finalized coaching staff. I'll be excited. But it's not going to be like, oh, here we go, 10-2, 11-1. Like, it's not like that anymore for me. At least in this particular juncture of my fandom.
Wait till spring ball starts. It'll be a different story for you.
I know. Guilty is charged.
You'll be putting that clown makeup on for the spring game.
Exactly. I'll be clown makeup on, you know, on the old school February signing day, and then again on the spring game and all that. But for right now, I'm just like, I don't know, man. I got to see it.
That's one other thing we didn't talk about. They also had signing day, December signing day, and Nebraska only signed 10 guys. We talked about that a bit, kind of expected, small class. We got to get down under the roster limit, all those things. But one more thing that doesn't necessarily help the narrative of uncertainty, right?
Right. Yeah. And can I just say, like, I understand the logic and the reasoning behind the smaller class. But, like, I'm looking around, like, everybody else is signing 20-some guys. Like, are our roster numbers that different and that weird from, like, the big boys that we're only signing 10 guys. It just seems like, I know we have a lot of underclassmen. I know we're leaving room for portal guys, but it doesn't seem like I've seen a lot of other teams having to do the same thing.
Yeah, I do think Nebraska carried a bigger roster than most over the last several years. Beyond that, yeah, I don't know. Did you have anything to add?
The only thing, if Matt's going to go the pessimist, right? You know, someone's got to bring some light at the end of the tunnel look to it.
He's not pessimist, Jeff. Not pessimist. I'm just saying how I'm feeling right now. Generally speaking, the glass is half full for me.
Yeah, well, I'm happy that he's making moves. I feel like I would have been more pissed off if we just didn't do anything. And I think behind closed doors, us included in this, a lot of people thought that Donovan Raiola needed to go. And I think that's the fan base thought that too. And I'm just impressed that usually the fan base's opinion is so like just angry and irrational, and they don't think things all the way through. Usually you don't see coaches line up with the same opinion of the fan base and go along with it. So I thought it was, I was pleased with these coaching changes, in my opinion. Something needed to be done. And again, to what TJ always says, Matt Rhule at least doesn't stand pat. He knows that this is important, and he's got to figure something out because potentially his job could be on the line at some point sooner than later if he doesn't. So,
well, and so to that point, Geoff, I was thinking about what we were going to talk about for this episode, part of me was like, this like all feels really unstable. This doesn't feel like the sign of a healthy program. You finish year 3-7-6. It's a disappointing year. Your sort of quarterback situation's in flux. You're firing coaches. This wasn't how it was supposed to be. This was supposed to be a well-oiled machine. But that, I think, that dynamic changes when you consider they clearly had the new offensive line coach lined up. That started breaking like an hour after the news about Raiola getting fired. So Jeep Wade, I believe that's how it's pronounced, G-E-E-P. Jeep Wade.
Can I just say, I'm on board with this guy. The soft G. Like Jeff, this guy's going places. I can tell you that much right now. Offensive line, it's fixed. It's good.
I think the name Jeep is way cooler than Geoff, but that's
watch
just
your mouth. Yeah, watch your mouth.
Georgia Tech has been known for years now as kind of a run first type of offense. They're 19th in rushing offense in 2025, averaging over 200 yards a game. Everything I've seen and read is Jeep Wade is well respected. I think it's considered an upgrade. So that kind of makes you feel a little better, almost like, hey, you know, you almost makes you wonder, because we don't have all the information, was it even a situation of they would have stuck with Donnie if nothing else had emerged, but they sort of got in on, I feel like they had to have probably been looking, I guess. But either way, they had a guy they feel like is clearly feel like is an upgrade, right? Mm-hmm. So that feels good. And then on the defensive coordinator side, they had this guy in town over the weekend from Toledo who's considered an up-and-comer in the business and done great things with Toledo's defense. That guy decided to go to Syracuse.
Interesting
choice.
And I will say, like, I can't handle Twitter sometimes. I can't, and all fan bases do it. I notice it. I love the Cubs. The Cubs fan base does it too. And Husker fan base, the Husker fan base is up there with everybody. First, it's like the Toledo guy's at Toledo. It's not, he's never been to the Big Ten. He can't like, I see.
This guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Yeah. We're scraping the bottom of the barrel. Then he goes to Syracuse and says, well, we lost him to Syracuse. How do we lose him to Syracuse?
We must be terrible. Yeah. No one respects us anymore.
Yeah. And I guess the word on that was, I think he wanted to bring his safeties coach or his defensive backs coach. That's one thing I heard. And that was the one position that Rhule said, you know, we're sticking. Who knows what all the sticking points were. Maybe he just geographically wants to be in New York instead of Nebraska. I don't know. Right. And then this guy from San Diego State, who's now been announced, our new defensive coordinator, Rob Arich, something like that. Again, like, oh, I see we're going with the young, unproven coordinator. Rhule's going to be gone in a year. You know, like, here's the bottom line, common fans. 99.9% of us have no idea. This might work, and it might not. Like, no, none of us really know. Right. And none of us know enough about football, even if you know what a cover two is, and you know what an odd man front is and all these things. Like, none of us really know enough about football to know. And even to those who know a lot about football, like, there could be reasons why this guy's a home run and there could be reasons why he doesn't work. And nobody really knows, right?
Right.
But after like we just discussed, after clamoring for heads to roll, you got to let Matt Rhule make his hires, right?
Yeah.
And guess what? Jim Leonard ain't leaving the Denver Broncos. And Justin Wilcox, who was, you know, both Jim Leonard and Justin Wilcox were defensive coordinators at Wisconsin at different points. Leonard is now passing game coordinator and assistant head coach for the Broncos. That seems like a pretty good gig, guys.
Yeah.
And then Justin Wilcox was head coach at Cal. Maybe Justin Wilcox wants to be a head coach again. I don't know. But I don't know. There's all kinds of head coaching openings. If I was him, I would wait around for a head coaching opening, not going back to being a defensive coordinator. So like these huge names, it was like when we hired Rhule and everybody's like, well, we should hire Urban Meyer. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
The guy has to want to come.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The guy has to want to come. Yeah.
Deion Sanders. Hell yeah.
So like, I kind of don't hate the young up and comer hire. Nobody knew who Tony White was. I realized he had been at least at a Power Five school, but nobody knew who Tony White was when we hired him. And he's probably one of Rhule's best hires. So to some extent, you gotta let it be and see if this guy can figure it out. And I don't, maybe like, supposedly both these guys are going to be in Lincoln like ASAP and helping with bowl practices. I'm guessing Phil Snow will still call the defense for the bowl game.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
Just for continuity's sake.
But Jeep is going to coach for the bowl game?
Yeah, right? Supposedly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So, but I mean, like, maybe that, you know, get this guy, he'll maybe getting this guy on campus now, he can earn the trust of the players. Maybe he can inject some energy. You know, there's a lot. Like, here's the other thing I was thinking about with the defense, guys. It wasn't just like, well, the rush defense numbers and the pass defense numbers, just the eye test. I feel like the tackling took a step back this year.
Yeah.
Missed tackles.
And like we talked, like, well, the defensive linemen just completely getting themselves walled off. Like, there was just a lot that needed to be fixed. And again, maybe Butler fixes it in year two, but I don't think anybody's upset that Rhule made the changes.
No,
not at all.
Okay. That's just two coaching changes. Who knows if there's going to be more? Let's take a minute. Let's pivot for a minute and just take our hats off, put our hands over our hearts, whatever you want to do, and honor the one and only Emmett Johnson.
Yes.
He's officially announced he's going to the NFL draft. It's hard to blame him. The guy was named the Big Ten running back of the year, right? First team All Big Ten. I think, have the All-America teams come out? He should be an All-American as well.
Yeah.
She got snubbed by not being a Doak Walker Award finalist. As we discussed many times, I think there was some hope that maybe we could pay him just a boatload of NIL money and he could come back and be like an immediate Heisman contender. Like, there was some hope that, like, maybe, just maybe, in this new world of college football, he can, and he probably can make more money in at least in one more year of college than he could in his rookie contract in the NFL. But the flip side is, all, you know, everybody in their backyard, what do you dream of forever? It's playing in the
that's
Major League
goal,
Baseball,
right?
Or yeah. The NFL, yeah. Or the NBA, whatever your sport is. That's what you dream about forever. And so he's going to get drafted. And so just a phenomenal season from Emmett Johnson. Not to make it about us, but we were screaming from the rooftops for 2 years that he was the best back on the roster.
Damn right.
So
yep. Damn right.
Good job, Common.
Kudos to the Common fans.
But just absolutely love Emmett. He's going to be missed. He was by far the heart and soul of this team and this offense this year, arguably maybe even more than Dylan, certainly by the end of the season.
Certainly.
And good for him. I also think it's like, it's big for Nebraska. Look, I think there's some, you know, love to see what more Isaiah Mosey and Mekhi Nelson and Quentin Ives have under the hood. But we didn't get to see a lot from them this year because Emmett had all the carries, and probably mm-hmm. rightly so. But we probably need to go get a more proven back in the portal. And now you can point to, hey, under E.J. Barthel's tutelage, the Nebraska running back coach's tutelage, Emmett Johnson was just the Big Ten running back of the year. Why don't you come here and be the Big Ten running back of the year? By the way, we just got this new O-line coach who is like a run-first guy.
Yep.
Come be the Big Ten running back of the year. That could help. That could help a lot in the portal. Anything you guys want to say about Emmett?
Just that I love him. I love him. Wish him the best.
He brought some great fodder to the show with the Back to the Future references. I'll tell you that much.
Right? Emmett!
Yeah. I'm going to miss that. Yeah. Nobody else is going to be running 88 miles per hour for the Oscars. I'll tell you that much right now.
No, so it's a huge loss for the Huskers, and it's like we're looking at a bowl game with potentially like nobody even knows if Latif is healthy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like maybe your third team quarterback.
Could be Grandstad starting against Utah.
Grandpa Grandstad.
Yeah.
And Granddad. And no Emmett probably. I mean, I guess I assume, I don't think his announcement said anything about the bowl game. I assume he's just going to focus on getting ready for the NFL.
I would imagine.
Maybe we just let Dana go full air raid in this game.
I mean,
I'd go crazy.
Commit to something. Commit to something, right?
Mm-hmm. Have an identity.
Let's talk about that Las Vegas Bowl really quick. We mentioned Utah is one of the best non-playoff teams in the country and one of the best rushing teams in the country.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I think it's a bit, like, it's a bowl game though, guys. So maybe they'll have, I think it was Severe or somebody on Twitter was like, they got some first round draft picks on their own line. Maybe those guys will opt out.
I was going to say, a lot of these players will sit during bowl games. Not just us, man. Like, people sit these things out. So you're not even getting the full picture of who we're actually playing half the time. So
They're going to have portal losses. They're going to have guys sitting out for the draft. They're going to have all those kinds of things.
And like, what's your, I mean, I was trying to think about this for Nebraska. Like, it's a pretty good draw. Like you want to punch up, right? You want to test yourself. You want to have like the most, Brandon Vogel of the Counter Read, friend of the program, his Monday morning article was basically like, you want the biggest challenge you can possibly get. Like, this is what you want. This is exciting. Nebraska can knock off a ranked team. They can put their rush defense to the test again. All those things makes me very nervous. Let me be clear, but you know, like, this is what you want. Whereas like Utah is probably like, Nebraska is 7-5. They're not ranked. Like, this sucks. So, you know, you just never know in these bowl games. And even if, I don't care, even if we're playing against like their third team, everything at Utah, because everybody else is opting out or something, which I don't fully expect, to be clear. But I don't care like what the scenario is and if they're not motivated or whatever. If Nebraska somehow finds their way to a win, that will matter.
Yeah.
It will matter a lot. And like, people will be jacked. And it will probably have involved some semblance of stopping the run and stopping a running quarterback, right? So all of that like would be very good for Matt Rhule. Finishing 8-5, like, I don't care what happened during the season, and we'll talk about it for 8 months of the offseason. Finishing 8-5 will make people feel good after the last 10 years of Nebraska football. So it is an opportunity for the Huskers.
It's something fun to watch too. Like, I know we were clamoring for a bowl game for years, but when you got, let's be honest, when we got the draw for Boston College, were you really that excited to play Boston College? Like, it just wasn't like the cool matchup you wanted to see. At least, I love the underdog scenario. You know, it makes the game more fun to watch. If we win, we win. Fantastic. But, you know, if we lose, we can at least say, hey, it was Utah. They were ranked. We didn't expect to win. 14-point
underdogs, all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I wasn't excited for Boston College. Just excited to be in a bowl game, period, right, last year. Yeah. And then, you know, then you get your little taste of the Huskers playing in late December or maybe even someday back to playing in January. That would be fun. But no, it's just to be in a bowl game. And that's why I, like, part of me is like, so not upset, but like, I feel for the fan bases of these teams that have decided to opt out of bowl games. And I'm not just talking about Notre Dame to give Jeff crap. I'm talking about like Iowa State and Kansas State and all these other schools. And like,
I don't understand it at all.
I don't either. Like, what about your seniors? What about the guys that aren't going pro, that aren't going to opt out? What about the young guys who, you know, we heard for years from Frost and whoever else about, oh, we got to make a bowl game because those practices are so important. You know, you had so many extra practices, and you can see if the young guys can play. And there's guys that who maybe are redshirting that can play in the game because they haven't reached their 4-game limit or whatever it is. Like, you can play all your guys.
Yeah.
So I don't understand the benefit of that, of being like in Notre Dame's kind of like, you know, I'm going to take my ball and go home. They're being big, whiny babies.
That's not true at all.
Huge babies.
They say, you want to screw us, we're going to screw you back.
Huge babies.
But, you know, I don't get that. You know, you hear your whole life about, like, not quitting and not walking away from the game, when, you know, or, you know, just playing it out, yeah. You know, and I just hate, like, that. I'm not going to get, like, on my high horse here and be like, I hate it for the next generation. But, like, come on. Like, doesn't anybody just want to compete to compete anymore?
Right.
Like, and I don't know. I just don't understand it.
And so I saw somebody made the point on Twitter, like some guys at like Iowa State and Kansas State, for instance, that are not playoff teams, those seniors played their last game without even knowing it.
Exactly.
I would be so angry. I would be exactly. So
and save me the our coach left. Like, coaches, like, bowl games happen with interim head coaches all the time. It's
really good, really good teams. How many bowl games did Barry Alvarez come back and coach for Wisconsin?
Exactly.
When they were very good. You know,
we had it happen twice in the last 20 years. We're a 9-win team and we got an interim coach coaching in the bowl game.
Like, maybe they didn't know. The one thing though is like, I don't fully buy that these coaches just make these decisions on the spot right after the season ends. Like, there's usually some sort of voting that goes on. They're not just going to blindside players and be like, hey, seniors, you're not playing this year. You're not playing. This is your last game ever. Like, they're not just going to do that to them. I would imagine there's some sort of voting process. Like Notre Dame, they sat down with the team and said, hey, who wants to play? Who doesn't? And they voted not to play. So I don't think it's just all the coach decides that. I think everybody kind of has a little bit of a say.
No, I know that. I know that. But what I'm saying is I don't understand that. I don't understand that to just say, you know, we can go play a game and, you know, you go to just the, and not just the game, like the experience of going to a bowl game. Like, you know, you're a 20 some year old kid and you can go to LA or Vegas or Florida or something over in December or January. Like, who doesn't want to do that?
Right.
I don't know. I don't get it. I think it's not good. It's certainly not good for college football fans. You know,
it's not like, good for the game.
That's like the swan song of a college football season is like a month of bowl games. And you can, I get there's way too many of them. I get it. But don't tell me you don't turn it on. Don't tell me you don't get home from work.
Christmas season.
Like, oh, there's a bowl game on. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, I get that. And everybody's saying like bowls are dying, and they may be, which is incredibly, incredibly sad. Like, I just don't know where we're headed here with this. But like it's just too dang bad, man.
Well, and talking about the next generation too, Matty O, of like who fallen in love with college football. You know who doesn't care that it's, you know, UTEP versus Hawaii on December 14th? The kids,
right?
My kids will watch any football game. They love it, you know. And like that's kind of like part of it. It's almost like in the last several decades, I feel like, yeah, there's probably too many of them. But it's also kind of like comes along with Christmas season. The excitement of Christmas season. You got a bowl game on almost every day. And it's, again, it's something that you earned as a player. It used to be 7 or 8 wins. Now it's 6 wins, but you earn it as a player and you keep track. I mean, how god awful was it for Nebraska when we had our bowl list streak? Like the flip side of it, right? So I just don't get it. I'd like to think we're not showing our age. Maybe we're showing our age, but I just don't understand it. Again, I'm not. I think the Notre Dame choice was the wrong choice. There, I feel like dynamic is a little bit different because, you know, they're saying we belonged in the playoff. And screw you guys, a bunch of whiny babies, but whatever. But like, it's not like K-State or Iowa State, for instance, was in the playoff conversation anytime recently. They weren't sitting there hoping against hope they had a shot against the playoffs.
Right.
You know? And so it's like, Iowa State, Matt Campbell is going to Penn State, and K-State's head coach retired. But again, so what?
Right. I truly do think it's in the mindset now is just it's playoff or bust for everybody. Like, I think that's just been instilled in college football now. That's what matters most now. And yeah, you get extra practices, but I think a lot of these kids just view that game as meaningless now. It does nothing for them personally. And you could argue it's about the money that's involved now, paying players, but it's not going to get any better. That's for sure. We can sit here and talk about how awesome it was. They're either going to expand the playoff and those games are going to get absorbed, or they're just going to quit playing them all together. And I think Notre Dame not opting in, being the number 11 team in the country, was a big, big deal. I feel like that's going to change the way a lot of people view bowl games going forward.
Well, yeah, I think if there's any justice in the world, all of these teams who are opting out this year will fall on their faces next year. That's what I think. they will have awful seasons, and everyone will make fun of them. If there is such a thing as football gods, these teams will pay the price.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
They should.
I feel like there's some open questions for Nebraska football. We can end with that. First of all, Las Vegas Bowl, New Year's Eve, kickoff's at like midday. It's like 12:30.
Mm-hmm. 2:30 central for those common fans here in the Midwest.
I'm gonna be in Phoenix with my family. Like, all my extended family is meeting in Phoenix, and it's like about a 4.5-hour drive to Vegas.
Oh boy.
Just saying, that might be hard to execute.
Don't kill yourself to get there, General.
Get up at like,
we don't know what's gonna happen on December 31st.
And that's a lot. Like, do we drive 9 hours in one day round trip just to go to that game? And
my God.
My wife and kids will be there, all my siblings and their spouses and children, everybody will be there, right? So not everyone's gonna go to the game, but like, I bet my boys would be up for getting up early, and my brother and a couple of my brothers, and you know, my brother Shane, his son is old enough. The other Matt and Andy's boys are not old enough. But anyway, I'm just you know.
make sure you got enough clown makeup for the whole family.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. But I do feel like I don't know. Like I got to do Vegas in small. I am one. I enjoy Vegas. There's a certain slimy charm about Vegas, which is something, but I got to do it in small doses. But I feel like, people are like, okay, if you haven't been there in a few years, and it's New Year's Eve is probably fun in Vegas. I don't know. And I've heard the city's dying, so maybe hotel rooms will be cheap. And I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a lot of Husker fans in the Phoenix area and in California and different parts of Colorado. So I feel like there could be a pretty good turnout, and you have to assume there's talk about Kyle Whittingham, Utah's head coach, maybe retiring. Obviously, Utah is pretty close to Las Vegas. So, like, I don't know. Maybe it'll be a pretty full game on both sides.
A lot of red there. Because Utah's red too, TJ.
I knew that.
Red and white.
They are?
Jeff probably did.
But what do you know?
Yeah. That's the least of our questions right now, guys.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what is Nebraska's quarterback situation? I've seen, you know, Chattel had a column that was basically like, look, the Riolas are a tight-knit family and a loyal family. They also know this game is a business. And, you know, I've seen people make the point that Dylan wants to go to the NFL. That's the goal. So he certainly wasn't, you know, it's harder to get to the NFL when you're getting sacked 300 times.
Yeah.
And so maybe he'll understand the need for a new offensive line coach. Also, Brandon Vogel in his piece this morning, laying out the Dayton thing, Uncle Donnie, he put the odds of Dylan coming back like 50-1. One thing we didn't even mention of these rumors, you know, before Iowa or before Penn State, whatever it was, there was that CBS article that didn't really say anything, but it was like, oh, Royola shopping around.
Yeah. Yep.
It doesn't, throw it all in the blender. It doesn't feel great about Dylan. Have to assume, I mean, there was also rumors last year. I mean, I don't know that it's a rumor. I think it's true that like he shopped around a little bit and ended up getting more money from Nebraska to stay. Maybe that's part of the drill now for all these big name guys. He could certainly go, you know, from what I heard, I had a lot of travel this last week. So I listened to a lot of like Gary Sharp and the Pick Six podcast and those guys, a lot of chatter about, look, he can plug and play at Miami, maybe even Oregon, one of those kind of places. He, you know, certainly command a lot of money, or go to a, you know, Sam brought up he could go to a group of five school, which doesn't make sense to me. No. But like go to a place that's going to throw it 50 times a game and just put up like 5,000 yards, like, so that, you know, maybe somewhere like that. So he'll certainly have those options. And guys, also,
he hasn't earned more money though. Like if he's sitting here like leaking things to CBS Sports saying that he's going to look in the transfer portal to use it as a way to try to get more money from Nebraska to stay, like, I'd say let him walk. Like, he hasn't earned more money.
I think here's what we got to be careful, because everything we know about Dylan is he's wanted to be the face of the program. They're out in the community. They're out at other sporting events. They go to high school sporting events. He and Emmett were doing a lot of that in the offseason,
which is all good.
Exactly. And he helped recruit guys like Dane Key and Isaiah Hunter. He has wanted to make Nebraska better. Everything you hear about him is he's a super hard worker. He's a tough guy. So that's what we know, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's true that like he's holding Nebraska hostage for more money, or I don't know, man. Like, we don't need that, you know? And right. Gary Sharp was making the point. And again, like, there's nuance here. I think Rule was responding to a question. I don't think Rule was proactively bringing it up, but Gary Sharp made the point that after the UCLA game, you know, Rule, one of the first things Rule was talking about in the postgame presser was, how does Dylan feel? Or have you talked to Dylan? And Sharp was kind of harsh. He was like, I don't care how he should feel. How he should feel is, we just won a game. And my backup, who I've been tutoring and mentoring, played really well. That's how he should feel. Sure. So like this idea of it has been very Dylan heavy since he's been here. Yeah. I want to balance both things. Mitch kind of put us in our place when he brought this up and talked about all the overwhelmingly positive things he's done for the program. And that's true. Yeah. But like, we don't need the drama of like, if he's going to hold out for more money or whatever. So it'd be good if we got answers on this stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess the only question I have for that is, so say we don't really know. We don't know if Lateef's staying. We don't know if he's leaving. We don't know what Dylan's staying or leaving. We don't know anything. Do you look for a potential quarterback in the portal? Like, do you do Here's that?
What, I think let's say in a scenario, feels like the least likely scenario, in a scenario where they both stay, then no. In a scenario where Dylan leaves, even if Lateef stays, I think you got to find another.
Yeah.
And maybe that's like a senior experienced guy who can be your 1 year starter. Maybe it's a guy who's going to compete with Lateef, but understands his role and is not going to whine and cry if he doesn't win the job, is going to stay and, you know, like serviceable kind of thing. But you need it for the depth, if nothing else. Even if Lateef is going to be your guy if Dylan leaves, you need a depth piece. And so I think they almost have to go to the portal for a quarterback no matter what. Again, unless both Dylan, like, here's an argument you could make. Dylan broke his leg. Like, so in it's not a Dylan thing, it's an all sports thing. Coming off an injury, guys are usually, you know, if it's a contract year in the MLB, there's usually questions about, oh, is this guy going to get as much money as he thought he could? And so like, is the interest going to be as strong because Dylan's coming back from injury? One. Two, Lateef definitely has a promising skill set, but came back down to earth against Penn State and Iowa. Mm-hmm. So I don't like, okay, maybe somebody shows up and says, you can be our guy, come make $1 million a year or something. But like, I feel like he's more likely to stay. I know there've been some rumors about him looking around, but, so, you know, who knows, but if one of them leaves, even, you got to go get at least one more.
Yeah.
Maybe more than that, right? Because they didn't, after Dayton decommitted or whatever happened there, they didn't sign a quarterback in this class. So, you know, they've got. Yeah,
they're just thin. They're thin. They're thin in the quarterback room already. Like, and if Dylan leaves, then, and granddad's graduating.
I assume he's graduated. Yeah. you have Lateef and that guy who transferred from Purdue who didn't.
Davila or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. And really nothing. And you got walk-ons after that who are basically just practice guys. So,
yeah, I mean, I could make the argument for getting two QBs in the portal.
Yeah.
Like a Davila type or whatever his name is, from, you know, a guy who's for sure going to be your backup, and then a more seasoned guy who's going to compete for the job kind of thing.
Yeah. And you probably need to get a quarterback. You probably need to get a running back. We need some
more. I was going to say, so what are Nebraska's other needs in the portal? I think that's another big question.
There's a lot of them. We know we need help in the trenches on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'd be disappointed if we don't get at least two O linemen, two D linemen in the portal. To me, that's like, and that's just bodies. Like, yeah, we need bodies, like big, strong bodies. And then, you know, receiver, we're okay. I think, I kind of think we need to get a linebacker or two. Like, or two, looking back, yeah, looking back at the season, and, you know, you read more and see more, and, you know, about how maybe our linebackers and their run fits are just as much to blame, if not more, than the D line and some of those things. So, like, yeah, I think we need just about every position group. We probably need to add guys. Yeah. And that's not a great position to be in, but that's where we're at.
I think we need like as many D linemen as as many difference making D linemen and linebackers as we can get, first and foremost.
And both. And if you look, and because my initial thought was like, okay, when you hire one of the positives of hiring a coordinator or a coach from another school instead of hiring from the NFL or somebody that was out of coaching for a year, he might potentially be able to bring some of his players with him. San Diego State has a few guys that I think we would love to have. Now, what kind of price tag do they come with? I don't know. But there's one, their leading tackler had 105 tackles, mm-hmm, and like five sacks, and an edge rusher with 7 sacks. Like, these guys could probably help us out.
Yeah.
So, well, and they have a defensive back who was a co-defensive player of the year in the Mountain West, who might be nice to get that guy too.
And there's at least one, I saw maybe two Georgia Tech offensive linemen who went to the portal, formerly like high, you know, four star guys, top, mm-hmm, 20 linemen, that kind of thing. So does Jeep Wade bring anybody with him? I say on the O-line, Matty O, you got Justin Evans coming back. You got Elijah Pritchett coming back. Presumably these guys come back. Gunnar, mm-hmm, Gatula. You have some starting experience there. And then one thing we know for sure is Rule, like his first few recruiting classes, got like 4 or 5 guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to think that if Wade is the type of coach we think he is, can some of these guys who are now third year sophomores or fourth year juniors,
yeah,
whatever,
Bricks, the Grant Pyle, some of those guys,
Gibson Pyle, and I think Pyle was hurt this year, but
yeah,
that kid from Hawaii, Mampua or whatever his name is, mm-hmm, can some of these guys, you know, with a new eye and a new coach, can some of these guys start? You know, it's time for some of this is going to have to be, especially on the offensive line, guys, it's their turn. They got to step.
Well, your third year in the program, you at least got to be in the two deep.
Like, third or fourth year in the program. Exactly. So yeah. I'm anxious about that. Now I will say, and there's some, you know, we love Keanu Davis and we love Willie Winery, and there's some other Cade Pertak and Dylan Edwards. And like, there's some guy, wait, did I say that? Is that the right name? Anyway,
Dylan Edwards is running back from
TCU.
But we might get him in the
ball. Yeah. Anyway, I'm thinking of another guy now. His name's escaping me. But like, there's some young talent on the D-line and on the linebacker room. But it just feels like that's where we need more immediate impact.
Mm-hmm.
Like that Jalen George guy from East Tennessee State or wherever the hell he was from.
Play?
Never saw him. You need to hit on a couple D-linemen, like you said, a couple linebackers. And then they can complement the talent that's already there. Cam Linehart's another guy, but you need some, like, if you can go get a Nash and Ty type, you got, like, that's where you got to prioritize, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Another question. We sort of talked about this, but what, like, are we going to see more musical chairs among the coaching staff?
I don't know. I mean, I'm surprised already at how much movement there's already been. Like, so, I mean, I never rule it out, I guess. Like Owen said earlier, like, what if Dana's just like, I don't want to do this anymore? Like,
I don't think Dana's leaving. I don't think Dana's leaving. Let's be like, that would have happened already if for some reason it was happening.
Well, and you saw him on the sign, like, he seemed to be enjoying himself. Like, he really got pumped up on a couple of touchdowns for some
popping
of these guys this season.
Popping those Zins, just living.
Yeah, I mean, I love him. I just would like it to be, I don't know, more rhythm in that offense.
Here's what I would like.
Never know.
Either like commit to the run more. And then, you know, Emmett had a great year, obviously, but like commit to the run more so that when it's 2nd and 4 at the Iowa 18, you know, you're going to pound the rock, right?
Yeah.
Like go full bore Big Ten, right? Or like, where's the Dana creativity? That's what I like. You know what I'm saying? Like, roll, like, let's see some more creative stuff, and we're gonna throw it around more, than let's do that. Like, it just felt like, we've said it 100 times, he's running a amended version of Marcus Satterfield's offense, this straight drop back crap that wasn't working and leading to a lot of sacks. And even with Latif, who supposedly could move better, they don't really roll him out much. Every other team seems to be able to execute play action to the point that they've got tight ends and wide receivers running wide open. We don't even do a lot of play action.
But some of that's like, offensive line too, though. Yeah, like, you gotta be like, and I couldn't but wonder, like, was our offensive line better, just better at run blocking? And they couldn't, they're just not good at pass blocking. And is that an indictment on Donovan Raiola too? As like, why are these guys so bad at pass blocking? But they're really decent at run blocking. Like, is that an indictment on Donovan Raiola more than it is these guys aren't good at that? And it's knowing your player's skill sets and all those things. But like, yeah, we couldn't do play action because they couldn't hold their damn pass blocks long enough.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, there's so many questions, guys. And we'll start to get some answers, I think, between now and the bowl. You'd like to think, you know, you never know in college football today.
So I'm saying, never know.
We hired John Butler in the middle of the summer because the guy before him left unexpectedly, right? So you never know.
Yep.
But hopefully, like, the coaching staff musical chairs is settled by the bowl game or by January. Mm-hmm. Then the portal season is January 2nd to January 16th, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll know a lot more by like mid-January about like what the roster looks like, what the coaching staff looks like, et cetera. But going back to the title of our post Iowa game episode was
further notice.
We've reached the until further notice point. There's a lot of these questions. This episode is going to be about the questions going into the bowl game. There's going to be a lot of questions until next August, guys.
Yeah.
They're like, we just have to see it on the field. Right. And to some extent,
show me.
I don't even care what the new guy does with the defensive staff or what they decide, if they decide to make any tweaks with how they run the offense or what. I mean, obviously I care, but it just has to work.
Mm-hmm.
Figure it out. It has to work.
Yeah.
Right.
For years and years, we were not used to any kind of coaching staff changes at Nebraska. As a Nebraska fan, it was like big news if even one defensive assistant was fired or left.
Yep.
Now, I mean, what I think some Husker fans don't realize is even the big boys have these staff shakeups every year because they've got a lot of assistants. If they're doing well, those assistants go and take head coach jobs. Or they take it, you know, they're a linebackers coach, now they're getting a DC job somewhere else. Everybody's dealing with turnover and shakeup.
Constant carousel.
Every single offseason. So I like that we are seemingly willing to, hey, we want to do something different. Let's make the move. Go. Like, it's not like, I don't know, let's run it back one more year. The time is of the essence. Like, you have to get going now.
Wow.
So I at least appreciate, like, us being aggressive in terms of, hey, we're firing this guy, we're gonna hire this guy, and we already got the guys ready to go. Like, it's not like, okay, we fired John Butler and, you know, we're 2 weeks into, you know, trying to figure out who our defensive coordinator is, and that doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. So I'm that part makes me feel okay, like, we fired the guys, now we got the next guy ready to go. I like that part.
So maybe it's not a sign of instability, maybe it's just the way college football is now. That's just the way the game is played and how it works, you know.
There's gonna be shakeups and turnover of rosters and coaching staffs every year, man.
Yeah,
I think it just gets crazier. I don't think it slows down.
And I think if you're winning and things are going well, your coaches are going to get poached. They're going to get hired for bigger jobs or head coaching jobs or whatever. So either way, it's going to happen. And again, here's it, you know, I hate to bring this up for a second episode in a row, but in the last episode, we looked at Kirk Ferentz's history, and he's had a number of seasons at Iowa that Nebraska fans would have said were unacceptable, but he's also had 10 and 11 and 12 win seasons.
Yep.
And he's a guy who has reinvented himself a few times as Iowa's head coach. I think for Nebraska right now, we have to be a little bit patient and see if Matt Rhule can like figure this out. Right.
Yeah.
I don't think we need, you know, everybody always, you know, and we're hearing it now. You're seeing it on Twitter. I'm getting emails. We're getting emails to the Common Fan account, comments on YouTube videos, people already like going there with Rhule. He needs to be fired or he's going to be gone because of how bad they're going to play. And in 2026, look, we're as frustrated as anybody with how this season went. We have more questions now than we had 3 years ago when he first started, right? Like, it's not clear this is going to work. Nobody knows. But I think the last thing Nebraska football needs is more instability. If it's two more years of 6-6, maybe we're having a different conversation. or yeah. we miss a bowl game the next one of the next 2 years, maybe we are having a different conversation. Like, I think it's this weird balance where, as Husker fans, I don't think we should ever let go of that expectation of greatness, because that was who we were for decades, right? And it's okay to, like, that's part of our identity as a program, that we were always striving for that. Yeah, it led to some missteps. It's led to some bad coaching hires. It's led to some things that probably set the program back. But we can't get comfortable with 7-6. We absolutely can't.
Right.
So that's true. But it's also true that we live in a brave new world of college football. Rule took over at one of the worst possible times in Nebraska football history. He has stabilized things to some extent. Back-to-back bowl games is not nothing. Got to let the guy see if he can figure it out and get to the next step. You just have
yeah.
to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and maybe we win all the games we're supposed to next year, and maybe we beat Iowa next year, and maybe we pick off one of the big guys, and suddenly you're at 8 or 9 wins and lose, you know, look.
Here we go.
I'm just saying, like, we could also we could also easily be at 6 wins next year.
And then we're gonna be on the bubble to get into the playoff, and then Alabama's gonna have 3 losses. And that's he's gonna screw us and keep us out. And then Nebraska's gonna quit on their bowl game.
Now, you know what Nebraska won't do, I can say with 1,000% certainty, is quit on their bowl game.
Yeah.
That I can say for sure. Be a bunch of whiny babies. All right, Common fans, lots to discuss. And the only guarantee is that by the next time we record, new stuff will have happened. And yep, this episode will be out of date.
Yep.
That's just the nature of where we are. It's the time of year. It's all of that. There's going to be lots to discuss between now and the bowl game. Any final thoughts, boys?
Now I'm just looking forward to I guess, bowl season, right? Because those still matter. I can't wait to watch all these bowl games.
I can't. I'm serious. I love all the bowl games. They will find teams to play in all the bowl games, and I will watch as many as I can.
Yeah. And it's a great way to get your kids started on some really light sports wagering. You know, the bowl pools. I started doing bowl pools as a very young man. And look how I turned out. I turned out all right.
You're sick in the head.
Yeah.
All right, Comet fans, be kind to each other. We'll be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that. Put them in the aisles.
And Nebraska takes the lead. And the national championship is Nebraska's.